In today's episode, we're going to talk about how to manage multiple warehouses and avoid inventory conflicts. So I'm here with Eddie.
I'm here.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So I was the main person that was kind of in charge of this whole scenario, and I think I was the I'm the one that came with this idea too. It's funny because I think it worked out pretty good.
Worked out the best it could work.
I think we did pretty good according to what we had, and you know,
Before we get in that right there, let's step back real quick. Tell them about the ultimate checklist first, though.
Okay, ultimate checklist.
You know what I need to know about ultimate checklist.
Our little baby that we've been nourishing, yeah, and getting them nice and big. That way we can give it to you guys. That way you can enjoy it.
For free.
At no cost. A lot of people say we're crazy.
Extra crazy.
But yeah, we are. Ultimate checklist. Y'all check it out. It should be in the show notes or in the description. It's free. It costs nothing. All you got to do is click on it and download. And if for some reason you can't get it, just shoot me or Xavier an email, and we'll get back with you with that. Yeah. And
Email should be, I need it.
I need it. I need it now.
It's my checklist.
But yeah, check that out. A lot of good information in there. And like I said, it's free. It's not going to cost you anything but your time to read it.
Yeah. So we'll do a self-evaluation at the end of it. Okay. So let's start off right here. So if you do have the unfortunate situation where you have two warehouses
four at one time
when you move between things. If you have that unfortunate situation, the first thing you need to do is really go through and assessing the situation. Mm-hmm. On there, like, why do you have four stuff? So what was the reason that what was our kind of general concept of why we were trying to have this many warehouses?
I think originally the discussion came up because we were trying to expand basically our bubble of customers, because one thing that we noticed is people would call us from other locations. I think it's like Frisco and kind of that area, or something like Dallas and whatnot, Garland. And then as soon as we told them that we were in Irving, they kind of just dropped off as far as successful turnovers as far as customers. So one thing that came up as the idea was like, hey, why don't we just have two warehouses, now it'll kind of give us increased range of our customer base. So that was what we ran with, and we got our first one, which was in Frisco, and that was fun.
The worst day of my life is when Garrett went up there and dropped those tables over there. I told y'all not to do that until we got a plan. And then from there, it was all rough from there.
Yeah. But that's one thing that I would 100% do all over, is kind of assess your situation, where you're at. Like, if you have inventory that needs to go out through a certain location, like we did, which is our Irving location, for that week, do not move anything until you got like everything mapped out, as far as like who's going to do what deliveries, because I think that was one of the things that kind of hurt us, because what we wanted to do is get another location to benefit us. But one thing that we didn't have down set in stone is, when do we shift the equipment over there and then schedule out the deliveries to start kind of taking place? We kind of just pull the pin off the grenade and say, all right, let's do it. And it came with a lot of issues, a lot of running back and forth, and getting stuff that didn't need to be dropped off at the other location back to the urban location. And one thing that it kind of showed us early on is that the big disadvantage that it would have if you didn't have a system down for the inventory. But I think that's a further question we'll talk about here soon.
Especially when you're selling out and stuff. Yeah. It gets rough out there. So next one is streamlined inventory management. A big issue that we had, and we're not saying this to tell you never to do this
or deter anybody.
This is just our experience, yeah, and what we would redo. Because realistically going forward, we probably won't have this another warehouse that is not closer to the first warehouse. Maybe that's where customers go to. Maybe to back up the store stuff.
Yeah.
But usually it will have one in each region that we want to be in. So, like, and also, too, I just realized something. I didn't realize that this question was just because we had Austin and Dallas. And that could have been what they were talking about. But
maybe that's yeah. If that's the case, then it's super, super simple.
Whole different
world. Like, it was, they were told they independently worked by themselves. One thing that we do see, like, eventually once we get bigger as far as inventory goes, is, like, seasonal movement of inventory to each location. But, you know, for the most part, we can already see what's going to happen, like, here in the DFW area as far as, like, equipment, what is more in high demand versus others. But having that, if we still had the Austin location, then we can easily look at the past and say we need to shift these items over here because they're more highly being rented out. But we haven't gotten to that part yet, but we will very soon. If that's the case, that's because, you know, when we read these questions, we can't really, unless we talk to you directly, we'll see what you exactly meant. But if that was the case, then I think it was very successful. It's one thing that we talked about. Because it ran totally on its own. It was like self kind of running. We didn't really intervene. I think that's one or two times that I went over there. Just because, like, the people we had over there, I was like, I don't know if they're going to show up. But we had systems in place that prevented if something did happen, then we would go to plan B, which I was plan B. But we had enough time set up, too. So if somebody did drop the ball or just basically said, you know, I quit, because I think that's what's most of anybody's fear is if the team that you have in these remote locations to say I give up or I quit and they leave everything, the operations still need to go on, and that's when we have to have plans in place. But fortunately, I was a plan, and I only had to go there like two or three times, and one was in a snowstorm, like the whole thing was iced, and I'm driving this baby box truck filled to the brim with chairs.
RIP baby box truck.
Man, I don't remember how. I think it was like 1,000 chairs. Anyways, so I'm over here like taking it in. Anybody that's in Texas, you know the ice storms that we had. So, you know, everybody's, like, at home, scared, and, like, oh, we're not going to drive on this stuff. And here I am in this box truck driving all the way to Austin. And, like, eventually I hit, like, I was doing very well. I was, like, almost there. I hit this ice patch, and I'm, like, doing 360s, and I'm, like, oh, it's over. But you just always want to have a plan in place because when managing multiple locations, hope for the best, but expect the worst. I would say is what kind of been my motto. So always have a plan B. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I say that a lot. And just having a foolproof plan because something will happen eventually if you're running multiple locations.
Yeah. I think the best thing that we did because we learned from our experiences up here too, is just having two different inventory systems. When we did move stuff through, it was a transfer request. You knew exactly where the stuff was. The stuff came back to where it came from. When we did it and you do it in a local region area, it is a lot more difficult because we tried to do it like it was an Amazon approach where you can, if no matter where we had the items at, we will get them to you no matter where we have, as long as we had them in the system, no matter if it's in a warehouse in Fort Worth or in Frisco or in Irving or wherever. And that was very difficult because we had to be managing between people between different places, having inventory conflict all the time.
Yeah.
Like crazy because we never had a real true count of what we had.
I think that was exactly the problem right there. We have systems now, and we have more eyes on things. We're kind of spread thin, and you know, when you're asking the warehouse staff, was very small as well. I think we had like two people at a location. If we had one person, you know, sometimes you know they wouldn't show or whatnot, and so it's very hard to run operations and you know, ensuring that the stuff that the driver took back, because some drivers will go to locations that, you know, there was nobody there or there was like one person, but they're trying to get other stuff done as well. So, you know, it's kind of hard when, you know, they did a drop of the item. I think we lost like a snow cone machine, which I think magically disappeared. Employee could have took it or they just never picked it up from the customer's location. It's very hard to determine that when you have like a lot of moving, you know, pieces. and you know, you don't have anybody that's set kind of counting everything that it's coming back like we have now. We have a system, so it's very hard for somebody to sneak in and say, oh, well, I didn't bring this, or, you know, certain inventories, you know, is damaged or whatnot. It's very easy in our current system to see that. But back in the good old days, stuff like that happened all the time, and we were trying to, you know, manage locations and the inventory at the same time as, you know, making sure that everything's staying afloat. So it's very difficult. But I think now, with the systems that we have, it's more doable as well. But I might go too deep into this, but because this is something that it's a little touchy, because like I said, I originally came up with the idea, which I think it would work, but like one thing is it has to be at a certain scale. You have to have a certain inventory, certain amount of employees at each location, and I think that maybe like the Amazon approach would have worked. But you just have to have
be system. Amazon.
Yeah, you can be Amazon too. But I'm saying, like, if you have certain employees, like right now, where we're at in our company is like miles away from where we were at that time. We have more like actual set positions, more strategies, schedules. We have more monitoring of things. Like, we have people that, you know, all they do is watch the cameras. They're watching punch in times. They're looking at the photos that we're having our drivers take. They're counting the items individually. So there's more systems and red flags that are more faster to get thrown up, and just everything runs a lot more smoother. But I think it's very doable. But let's hear what you got to say on that subject.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's doable in the standpoint of running, like, I don't know about running like Amazon. I just don't know about that part, because the movement of stuff. But I do think if we did like a Dallas and then we did a Fort Worth office, and they were just two different, kind of, they didn't really work together. I mean, they worked together when they needed to on transfers.
Yeah.
But it's just like, if the order comes in, the quotes comes out of here, and then if they have it, they have it. If they don't have it, they can do a transfer. But if it's less than a week, they can't do a transfer request. Like, something like that, I'd be okay. But with sharing the inventory systems, I think like that was like not a good idea. That part was not a good idea. They actually have it multiple locations, I think, was fine.
Yeah.
It was just like you said, we need to have enough people, someone who actually is over the whole warehouse to make sure everything is done and the monitor stuff in there. And who knows, maybe one day we might go back to Fort Worth and then put one there that is completely separate from our Dallas one, or somewhere so we can do the other part of the city even better. But it won't be where people are coming out of random places. Everybody works out of different locations every single day or stuff like that. And then we'll probably have like a transfer request between the same house we have between Dallas and Austin or any other locations that we're going to have in the future. I think we will kind of stick to, at least I would hope that we will stick to that right there on there. And on there, so as long as I don't get replaced, we won't be, I think, doing that where we have like an overall, you know, where, you know, just the inventory is from anywhere.
Yeah.
But if we were to build out our development team, and then we were to maybe make some of our own hardware, or get someone to work with us on the hardware, they don't have to technically make it on stuff, then I think we can look back at doing a system like that. But we would need to be, I think, at least each location would need to be over $10 million of revenue each separately on that stuff, so we can be able to have enough inventory to be able to move stuff across. And then we'll just bring an 18-wheeler from one to the other each week. And it just need to be just two and not three. Three is a little
That was, one thing that I personally do is I try to take the good and the bad of everything. And I think we've discussed, I think the good is, you know, a lot of people in that area that we were at know about us, and they like us, and they do business with us all the time now. Even though, I think in our current system, even our locations, we don't have the locations anymore, but we still use some kind of form of it to calculate the cost, so that way we can give them the same cost that they would have got otherwise if we were still in that area. So I take that with it, but the three location, and then, you know, to put salt on the wound, you know, a lot of times like employees would do whatever was best for them at that time. So you know, if they were in this area, they're like, hey, I'm just gonna drop it off over there. But we needed those items to be dropped off to this other warehouse. And then they wouldn't tell anybody until a later time. And then you find out, they're like, hey, those items aren't here. And then now you, so yeah, it was a lot of things that were just like piling on and making it very difficult. But in the end, I know, like if you've been watching our podcast or listening to our podcast or watching our YouTube channel, we've decided to just put everybody in house. In one big warehouse and grow it that way. It's been a big game changer, I would say. It's not only for the growth of the company, but also like the culture of everybody, you know, because everybody sees each other now versus everyone was like, oh, well, that's warehouse Irving or warehouse Fort Worth. Everyone would point their fingers at each other and just didn't feel like a team kind of thing. So that's one thing that I'm just glad that it has happened now.
Yeah. I'll say the same thing. I think, when it comes to the warehouse, I just tell everybody that our drivers, our team has the hardest rental job in America. Literally, you have to go, before you make one stop, you have to go to three stops and go pick up all the stuff that you need. And you got to hope that the stuff is there on there. No. So they would used to do. So if you're coming from Irving, you have to go to Fort Worth, which is like, it was like forever, like 45 minutes. And then you got to go from Fort Worth to Frisco, which is like an hour. And then you have to come all the way back over here and go to DeSoto because you were technically supposed to do deliveries at South Dallas. it would just get crazy. And then if you couldn't get everything in the vehicle, you would have to go back to the place that you forgot the stuff. Man. It was terrible.
But towards the end, it got a little bit better because we hired somebody to specifically move the stuff. But then the thing that would like hurt your head is like when they didn't move the stuff and they said they did, and you're like, oh my gosh, and you didn't find out till the morning. And then the driver's like, I thought that's why we had the new guy to do that. Those things we listen to our employees, and we're like, you know what, let's do this, because not only is it a bit better morale and time and money and all that good stuff, but you know, if you get your delivery drivers and then they're like, ugh, I gotta go all the way over here, then here and here, then I can finally start doing, and you're already starting off kind of like in a losing battle. So that's one thing that I think that's really changed the mindset of even kind of the older ones that have been here for a while. They just see that and they're like, oh my gosh, thank you God for answering my prayers. So yeah, that's
yeah. And also too, if anything happens wrong from a workforce perspective, you're able to get someone on it really quick. You can quickly see if someone doesn't show up to work on time because everybody's going to the same location.
Yeah.
You can have someone fill in the spots. You don't need to have three different people come in on Saturday to do the orders on Saturday for customer pickups, which that was a hassle, just having people be there for the customer pickups across all three locations. Sadie, what would you say, like, from a just a employee workforce position, do you think that we had like the most issues?
I think you kind of mentioned it, like the most issues I think is if you don't have anybody of authority that's actually at the location. There's a saying, but
what's the saying?
I'm trying to think of it, but you know how my memory is.
What's your name?
Something's away, then the blah blah will play. Well, it doesn't go exactly. But if you know what, if you know what I'm saying, then just put it in the comment section, and then I'm like, thank you.
I know. I think I need to remember something
when the boss is away or something. The
hand will play.
The hand will play. You know what I mean, right? Well, anyways, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, so if you don't have somebody, and it's 100% the case, even they're good people, they're still gonna do.
God bless their soul.
They're still gonna do what they feel that, you know, they want to do, and just mess around or whatnot.
Run out the time.
Exactly. So if you don't have somebody of authority at each location, like all the time, because the problem we had was this, you know, a manager would go around and make their runs, but otherwise they were kind of free to run an operation by themselves. I think that was the biggest issue. Just we turned people that otherwise would have been in like a systematic, structured, you know, good people into bad people because we gave them that opportunity to choose, you know. Because when you give people opportunities like, okay, you're going to do this like you're supposed to or not, then you're more likely to kind of lose those bets.
Yeah. And you have people too with the different processes across the whole thing.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That caused a whole bunch of different issues.
So that's another thing. Just like you said,
People call the chairs different things too.
So yeah, the inventory. Yeah, everybody is like, it's like having like one person that's from the Amazons and another one from the desert. They're like, they're not intertwined. Or like in Avatar, you remember Avatar? They have the ones that are like in the sea and the other ones are in the tree. That's how it felt like on her warehouses. They're kind of different. They're like everyone kind of doing their own thing. And you would tell them and they're like, okay. And then you come back next week. You're like, hey, you're doing it the same way. He's like, yeah, I know. Like, I just think it's better. I'm like, it's just like a lot of, I think everybody's not on the same page. But if, like you said, if that question was referring to like our Austin location, everything was perfect. Cause it was literally cookie cut, like the system from here and then put it over there, and it ran just fine. Like I said, the only thing that I was worried about is people not showing up, which only happened like one or two times.
Yeah.
And but like you said, it was very profitable, and it's very doable. You just have to monitor everything.
I think so if you're talking about multiple warehouses in the same location, I don't think you should do that at all because they run completely separate. Multiple locations, period, across a region, like from Austin, Dallas, Houston, or if you're like in Florida, you're going to Orlando, Miami, Jacksonville, Tampa, whatever, or wherever you're from and stuff like that, then yes, 100% do that. You want to be closer to the area. If you look at a couple other different party rental companies like Party Rental LTD, they have 6 or 7 warehouses that are up the East Coast on there. You look at Bright Events, which is a California-based one. They have like stuff in almost every major California city. You have Pro Elm, which is in Orlando, Orlando, Chicago, Arizona, in Las Vegas, in one other place like Chicago or something like that. Like, you can have those, and those work perfectly. I don't only think of one person locally or that I've seen really to do two different rental places, but both of them do it separately, and that's Rental Stop, one of our competitors. Mm-hmm. And they rent out construction equipment or heavy-duty equipment and stuff like that, so tools and everything. So it's different because that stuff can't be moved back and forth, and they run it at separate locations, just in a different area that helps out on there. Like when it comes to like standard operations, when you're talking about between Austin and Dallas, like that was like perfect. You can literally, like Eddie said, you can take all your operations you make here and can pop it into Austin. When we go back to Austin at the end of this year, we're planning to do the same thing, take our same situation, which we're going to hopefully show everybody the whole setup and stuff. We're going to try to get to a certain dollar amount in the first 30 days. We'll do like a challenge. Me and Eddie will go down there. Tina's going to come too. And we'll do like a challenge or something like that. You know, from there, like those are separate. I think you should do those. If you have two different cities that are far enough, or metroplexes, you should run them off there. Now, this is kind of like, I would think, like the performance. Like, how do you monitor the performance of all these different people at different warehouses, locally and externally, in like different metroplexes?
Well, I think our current metrics that we're using, I mean, performance and the quality of your product, if it's getting cleaned, how is it being handled? Is damage is being reported? That's one thing that we look for now. We have systems now, but at that time, we were basically looking on good individuals to provide us that information, and also like the timeliness, like how long these deliveries are taking, preloading, vehicles coming in and out, all that stuff has like, all factor into like how the performance of the warehouse or that specific location is doing. You know, one thing that I think we both found out is like, for instance, our location in Frisco, that place was horrible to get out. It's like not close to like a major highway. And then when you try to get to the major highway, there's just so many lights there.
So many lights.
Like these are things, if you do decide to get a second one, all these things you got to kind of like keep in mind. Now our Dallas location, like we're so close to like two major highways, like they're literally like, I don't know, maybe like a quarter mile apart. You can jump on either one to go either which directions. Like it's so fast to get to where we need to go.
And if you go a half a mile out, you can get to 183.
Yeah,
you can literally get to anywhere from, you know, from you can get from our space to anywhere from a highway. And I think Eddie's alluding to, like, make sure that the place you get is by the highway. And Austin was perfect because we were, like, right on 35. Literally. Even though it was a storage, we were right on 35.
Yeah.
Which was, like, great.
So I think that that's one thing that we've kind of looked at and said, hey, this is, like, a major factor to kind of consider whenever you're picking your place. Especially picking multiple places because, man, it was a headache. I think it probably, if both locations were at a place they can just start off like we are now, I think it might have been a lot more smoother, but it'll just horrible just to get close to the highway. It'll just very bad.
Yeah, honestly, I believe that if we had the warehouse we had now, we probably would never left Austin to get Dallas Fort together on there. But we'll be back and we're going to see it runs even better. The one thing I do like about like the systems we have now. Before, we only could compare the drivers. So we could do the efficiency scores on the drivers. Now we can do efficiency scores on the drivers. We can do the efficiency scores on the actual warehouse team as well.
Yeah.
And we did it on both spots. And generally, like, I think going forward, there's a lot of things we probably still going to do similar to we did when we first went down there. But one thing that I know for fact, or two things I know for fact that we're going to do, we're going to have two people working at minimum. And then we're gonna make sure we don't lease vehicles down there, and then from there we'll build from everything else. Obviously, we'll get some place for the bathroom, all that stuff, and everything. No. But this is just our experience on there. If you have any questions, concerns, let us know on that part. If you're running multiple warehouses, we would love to talk to you about it. But we're gonna pass this to Tina for the FAQs on here.
Easy does it.
All right, so the first question is, what is business development?
Ooh, that was smooth. So business development, from basically how I put it right here, is going out there and building relationships, partnerships with other people who are in the industry or who are closer to the customer than you are. So for our perspective, usually the first person to talk to our customers are going to be an event planner or some type of person kind of up the chain on there. And even sometimes the venue might be something that are closer to the customers than we are for the most part. Anything to add, Eddie?
That's pretty much it. Just developing the relationship, like you said, with the ones that are right there, right next to them. Like that's specifically like their industry. Event planners are planning events, and we're just providing the equipment for it. So,
yeah, and this also can be for people who are the same. Like we have a pretty good relationship with one of our competitors, as well, that allows us to get some stuff we need, and we work together on things like that.
All right. The next question is, how do you do business development?
So we're actually going to do a video on this later on to kind of go way more depth into it and actually do the building processes. So when we set up Austin, we'll go sit down, and you'll see Eddie at all the meetings, meeting with all the people in the local areas. But the general ability in my head, which we've done a little bit of business developing in this business, most of our stuff hasn't been built on the back of it. But we have made strategic relationships with certain people. Like we spend a lot of time on making sure we take care of all the event planners, anybody like from a customer standpoint or a vendor standpoint, of building really good relations with them so that we can be able to get the stuff we need to do. So we have like two vendors here locally, which is for like our, the clear Shivari chairs and then the throne chairs. Are kind of like really tight vendors we have that we work on projects with, and we can work stuff out so we can work with them on there. But generally the process of you going out and doing it would be like, this is kind of what we did a little bit for some of the, we did some of the dealerships and we called up to dealerships. So I would call, ask Eddie, I know Eddie does a customer appreciation dinner every single month. And then I would come to him and say, hey, Eddie, why don't you do the customer appreciation dinner with me? I'll give him all the reasons why. But most likely I would have something to kind of tie him back into it, either from a price standpoint or him not having to do anything. Maybe it'll be where they don't have to order, give him a 30-day net 30 or something like that, but doing something that benefits them to take care of it so they don't have to worry about it at the end of the month. That's kind of what we do. But like when we can do the video later on, when we go to Austin, we build that up and we show you, we're going to show like, we have appointment setters that I will set appointments from for, so Eddie to go meet with, event planners, caterers, venue owners, and other related, rental companies that we might need down there to meet with all of them and push out, the business on there.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, I know you may not think it, but like looking at me, because my wife always tells me, just like yesterday, it's like, you look so mean, like no one wants to talk to you, but
he's
mean. But I'm actually a very nice person and very
cut the cat
personable, right? And so one thing I do is, you know, like you said, I'll meet with people, you know, get them to open up with me. Next thing you know, we're like best friends. And then, you know, who more do you want to do business with than somebody like close to you, like your best friend? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I do. I create relationships with people, that people like to do business with, people that they like. And they, you know, so I'm very likable. So that's what I do. And yeah, we do very well. There's a couple people that, you know, actually my daughter is working with them. We just met. It was a flower vendor that we used to do business with. Created a relationship with them, and yeah, we do very well. We collaborate on a lot of clients, and now my daughter's working with him, kind of learning the back end work and seeing what's involved in that, so to further her knowledge. But little things like that, just creating bonds with people and closing contracts.
So the last question is, how do you avoid inventory conflicts when sharing inventory?
You don't do it.
Yeah, short answer. Yeah, Eddie, how to avoid inventory conflicts?
Well, I think one thing that we did when we had Mark would
goldfish.
Yeah, right. Goldfish, oh, my buddy. So Mark, what we would have him do is basically direct the traffic. So we would, at all times, we'd do an inventory count at each location. After that was done, we would see what was out, and then we would kind of arrange the trucks to be dropped off at specific locations. That would kind of eliminate that process. And then also, one thing that would have come in very handy is once the items get back, go ahead and do a count on everything, make sure that what's coming back is actually there, because a lot of times if you don't do that, in our experience, you're going to find out, you know, probably the day that you need the items, that they're not at the locations that you need them at.
Yeah. I think too, Mark was like really big help on that stuff, because one thing to do, we used to have two different trucks. One was starting in Frisco, one was starting in Irving. So basically what they would do is that they would kind of run in a circle and come back to itself to bring the stuff back to where it needs to be at the very end. So they would move stuff. Both people would move stuff from to the actual Fort Worth warehouse, get the stuff when they need from the Fort Worth warehouse, and then go to each warehouse and come back. It just worked out really well. And sometimes they did like an exchange in the middle. So they would go from one person would go to Fort Worth and what you call it, and another person would bring the stuff down that other people needed, and then they'll meet, offload, and then go back to the respective locations and do it. And it worked out pretty well. The biggest thing is just keeping your inventory counts, triple, double checking as much as possible, checking what you have going out, what's supposed to be there, and then having someone like really like there and stay responsible to making sure that it doesn't cause an issue. Now, since we're in one location, it works out a lot better because we can see everything. Everything has to come back here, put our hands on it. Eddie has systems inside the warehouse, which if you've seen the warehouse tour, then you've seen kind of some of the systems on there. And then when we kind of ran it with Austin, we just did transfer requests. So we would, whatever we took down there, we would bring back up.
Yeah.
It was like very straightforward on there. So nothing lingered. And then if we actually took something down there and we was keeping it down there, we would remove it from the
inventory
on one side and leave it down there and add it to the new inventory. It's a good way to kind of avoid conflicts on there. But thank you guys so much for, you know, sending us these questions and kind of talking to us about it. If you want any of your questions asked, please leave us a comment down below or reach out with us through email. You know, anywhere you can possibly find us, go to Eddie's Snapchat, send him some messages, whatever it is.
Please don't. My wife's gonna kill me.
That's a Snapchat. Shout out to him, Loverboy18. But check out the Ultimate Checklist. If you want to do some consulting and want to work with us one-on-one, please check those links out down below. Like I said, we really appreciate, you know, giving us your attention and time to help you grow your business. And we'd love to learn more about your business. So thank you a lot. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we'll see you. And wait. I'm going to let Tina say goodbye.
Goodbye, guys. We'll see you in the next video.
Y'all guess what she looks like.